could restorative justice help stem the rising tide of violence in our schools? That's the call from the Ulster Teachers Union. Restorative justice is a process where all parties with a stake in a particular incident come together to decide how to deal with the aftermath. Put bluntly, the victim of the incident meets the perpetrator and they try to sort things out together. Could it work in the classroom, in our schools? The Children's Commissioner, Kula Yasuma, with us today. Kula, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. And mother and commentator Heidi McAlpine. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning.
Well, Kula, let's get your view on this then as the Children's Commissioner. What do you think?
Well, I think not only could restorative practices in school work, but they do work. I really welcome this call from the Ulster Teachers Union. But just to say, there are several schools around Northern Ireland who implement this sort of problem-solving approach. My one note of caution is it's not the solution. It has to be part of a menu of solutions. But absolutely, it teaches children and young people about how to resolve difficult issues. It teaches them about empathy. It also teaches them about the impact, the human impact of their behaviour. And that sort of knowledge and skills will hold them well for going into their future.
Heidi?
Well, I can see the benefits of restorative justice within our adult legal system, but it needs the buy-in from both parties. And when it comes to children, whether they're young and naive or a self-conscious teenager, it may not be the right track to choose. The person who has been the victim of bullying, it has already gone through emotional trauma, and to ask them to go face-to-face with the person who did that to them, it's sort of like a double bullying for them. The poor child is probably thinking, why is this happening? You know, why am I having to meet the person who has hurt me so much?
Well, surely they don't have to, Heidi. Surely the point is this would be on a voluntary basis if the victim wanted to do it.
Well, I mean, when you say voluntary, what are the actions put into place that brings it to that place where the victim feels like they need to go and confront to see their bully? They already see the bully in the school every day anyway. So what is the discussion that is had? That it seems to me that the emphasis is put on the victim to make more of an effort to go face to face with the bully rather than the bully to be punished. And also, where are the parents in all this? Because obviously,
okay,
I understand that a bully is maybe going through something at home, something outside of school that forms their behaviour. It's a bigger picture than this. It seems like it's all falling at the feet of the victim,
right,
to make it better.
Stephen, can I, and Heidi, I think your point is incredibly well made, particularly in this week of Children's Mental Health Week, where bullying is a huge issue that impacts on children's mental health. Restorative practice or peer mediation, where children help resolve issues between children and young people, is not something that many people would recommend in cases of severe bullying. That is not what this is for. That's what I said. It's not the be-all and end-all. What these sorts of practices will be used is around early stages of things going wrong. And let's be absolutely clear that the victim of the bullying or the person who has been hurt has to go aside with their parents and anybody else that they want in the room on their own to say, yes, I will, no, I won't. And that there is no sanction on them if they don't feel able to. I am not for one minute suggesting this is a good idea for every situation. And we have to, but that's why training is really, really important in these sorts of things, to make sure it's the right solution. Because you do not want to re-traumatise anybody involved in such a practice. And it has to be genuinely voluntary. It absolutely has to, for the very reasons that Heidi's outlined.
And so, Heidi, if it is voluntary, what's your problem?
Well, I wonder what constitutes severe bullying, which is what has been mentioned. I didn't realise there were different degrees of bullying. Bullying can be a very subtle behaviour, but it could have a very lasting effect on the victim. So I really don't understand. What is severe bullying, rather than emotional?
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is the sort of bullying, and if my language is intemperate, then for that I apologise. People experience bullying differently. Sometimes they experience bullying and it's the beginning of something that could escalate. And some a restorative or a mediation type intervention, they understand, may help. But bullying, we all experience bullying differently. So if that person says, no, I actually can't be in the room, I don't feel safe to be in the room.
Can you just let me finish?
Somebody else may say, yes, I do. So if they say, no, I don't want to be in the room, and also I would urge on any school staff not to offer this as a solution if they can see that a child is traumatised, that a child needs services, and that the other child or group of children who are doing the bullying, needs to be made clear to them in no uncertain terms, inappropriateness of their behaviour. That's not the sort of situation we would be recommending a restorative practice for.
What if that child is a kind, good child, maybe quite a soft child in their demeanour, and they don't even have the strength to say, no, I don't want to meet that bully? Maybe they feel they have to go along with it because that's the kind of child they are. They're not about confrontation. They're not about saying no to authority.
Then it's not about authority saying, you have to do this, then we would trust that the child would have an advocate or their parent. Honestly, I understand what you're saying. I completely, but where I have seen it work, I have seen it where children have fallen out in the playground and where it could escalate to bullying, but other children have got involved and they've sat them down and they've understood where each other and they've moved forward. Where it escalates into bullying, it doesn't necessarily work. So we absolutely have to have the permission in those instances of parents and other children's advocates. If we have to trust that our school staff know when a child is traumatised and know when they're saying, yeah, all right, I'll do this.
Do you have such a thing in place where the parents of both the children, the bully and the victim, meet up? Because surely it is better that an adult who is more mature, worldly wise, they're able to meet each other, because surely they can talk about it on behalf of their children and understand what they're going through.
Except I think it has to be horses for courses. It has to be the right process for the right situation. But the idea that adults sort it out on behalf of their children would be implemented if necessary. But generally, children, and particularly young people, older children who have done anything that's hurt another person, absolutely need to be involved in this themselves. Children talking to either adults on behalf of children or children themselves that they've had a falling out with or have hurt in some way, that is what will stay with them. There is really strong evidence, very good, robust evidence that shows when done well, this sort of restorative practice gives young people lifelong lessons.
My concern as well is that if a bully is involved in this restorative justice with the victim and they go through the motions of meeting up with each other and it all seems to be okay, ironed out, whatever way you want to call it, then maybe the bully goes back to their behaviour and has a little sort of glint in their eyes as to say, I've been exonerated. All over again. You know, you have to police this beyond this confrontation and this approach.
Of course you do. We're not talking about suddenly walking into school tomorrow. There is a substantial training. There are organisations in Northern Ireland who have been trained to degree, diploma, master's level in this sort of techniques. This isn't some sort of let's Google this and then suddenly do this.
I would like to see the victim put first. And, you know, it's happened in all sorts of areas in our little country where the victim is secondary to the person who committed the crime and their feelings and what they're going through. And that's what happened. There was that James Bulger documentary on last night, and the mother of James Bulger said that she was incensed that it sort of seemed to take the side of the boys that committed that murder.
I'm sorry. I
know I'm taking it to an example that is a little bit beyond.
Well, let's let Cooler speak, Carrie. One second.
Part of this, you know, the victim needs to be thought about less than the bully.
Let's let Cooler respond to that.
I have to go. Let's just say something. Any suggestion to any person, particularly a child, that says you hurt somebody, but your needs come before the person you hurt. If we are sending that message to anybody, then that is the wrong message we send. all of these processes will only proceed if the person okay. who has been hurt agrees to it. Because we cannot send a message to anyone that they can go around hurting people with impunity. So how we do it is what's important. And doing it in a way that means everyone has a say in the solution is by far okay. the most effective way when appropriate.
Kula, thank okay. you very much thank indeed. Morning, bye. To you. Heidi, maybe you can stay there for me. We'll come back to some calls on this. 0330 80 55 55. Are you able to stay another few minutes, Heidi?
Yes,
I see, by the way, on a different subject, Sammy Wilson, the DP, Sammy Wilson, tweeting this morning the following. This is about Brexit. The blackmailing burghers from Brussels and the cheap political opportunists in Dublin must meet a tough UK government response. In these negotiations, if the gloves are off, it is time we went into the fray with a no surrender attitude. That coming from the DUP's Sammy Wilson. That type of rhetoric and that type of language possibly meant for as much the British government as anybody else, of course, in the context of Theresa May hangs on to power, dependent on support from the DUP. And Mr. Wilson suggesting that it may be time to enter into the fray with a, quote, no surrender attitude. Right, back to more of your calls on this. Mark and Carrie Duff. Morning, Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
I was a teacher in London for a few years, and I actually went on to a course that's it's referred to as restorative approach over, but essentially that's what it is. It's restorative justice. I was in a secondary school, but found it completely inadequate. And one thing that sort of has been spoken about is the amount of time and effort that's put into getting a restorative conversation into sort of going forward. Takes hours and hours of going with the victim and the bully to get them ready for to have a conversation. And what we found was whenever we had constant, you know, the re-offenders would come back and back and ask, they would actually be asking for restorative justice or restorative approach because they actually found it was an easier way to get out of what they've done. Essentially, it came to the point where they knew the script of what we were going to ask them. So questions like, how did that make you feel, et cetera, et cetera. And we just found it completely inadequate. Now, potentially it might work in primary schools where children are still learning about emotions, but in secondary schools it was absolutely a waste of time.